Hello, you're listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. Please enjoy this offering from our senior choir, the Easter Alleluia. Today is our Easter service message, and we're looking at John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Before I begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. O Holy God, we come on this glorious Easter morning, celebrating the empty tomb, celebrating the victory over the grave, and celebrating new life in you. And so, Lord, as we gather around your word this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock, our strength, our Redeemer, and our Savior. Amen. We have a little saying in our home. Ironically, we can't actually quite remember where it came from, but it gives us a little giggle every time we end up saying it. You know those moments when you walk into a room and you have no idea why you walk there? Right? Everybody has it. You totally forget why you went in the room. You're pretty sure you went there to get something, but somewhere along the line, you've lost track of what it was. Now, Bev had heard somewhere, sometime, that the story that if you forget something, when you walk through a doorway, you forget something. So when we walk in our house into a room and we forget why we walked into the room, we say, well, I guess I'll walk through a doorway. It happens to everyone. It probably happens on a regular basis for you. And you're in one room. You realize you need something in another room. So you get up, you walk through the house, you get there, and you have forgotten. So in the process of walking from here to there, or there to here, depending on how you look at it, you've probably thought of a dozen other things, half of which are probably important, like, okay, I got to get groceries, I got to call someone, I got to clean that spot over there, right? All these things going through your head, and in that process, you have forgotten. And so you end up standing in the kitchen, scratching your head, wondering why you're there. Well, I'm not hungry. I'm not thirsty. There must be something here I need. So what do? You go back to the other room. And you start to figure out, what was I doing in this room that I had to go to that room? And so you start to piece it together. You retrace your steps. You know, if you're reading a book, you pick up the book. Maybe the clue's in the book, right? Until you figure out, if you figure it out, because sometimes you just don't figure it out. And so you just go on with your day. It's just the way we work. It seems to be the way our brain processes. We like to think we can multitask, but really we can't. Our brain can only do literally one thing at a time. Yeah. Our brain can only do one thing at a time. If we try to put too much stuff in there at the same time, then something gets forgotten. Just the way it works. Sometimes I'll be in a meeting, and I'll be thinking, okay, I got an opportunity to speak coming up. There's some things I have to share. And Sometimes it's a response to something else someone else has said, or something, it's a new piece of information to add to the conversation. But I know I'm not going to remember it all. So if I don't have a piece of paper, I can't jot it down what I want to say, so that, well, I need to give myself clues. So I might, sometimes what I might do is I'll start counting on my hands how many points I need to make. So I might stand up with four fingers out. And as I say them, I kind of tick them off. Problem is, I get about the third or fourth and I forget what the next one is. So it doesn't always work. I need a little better method than that, I think. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But again, that happens with all of us. So if you see me in a meeting, like holding out a few fingers, that's my trick. Although, like I said, it doesn't always work. We forget things. We forget what we're looking for. We forget names. We forget where we parked the car at the mall. Right? We all do it. We just forget. And what happens, we feel really, really silly. We feel foolish. But everybody does it, right? It's who we are. Now, after all of this, I'm thankful I got my notes, because I would need to remember where I'm going next. Right? Easter is the most joyous morning of the year. In fact, I would argue that for the church, it has to be. It has to be the most joyous morning of the year. And Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Jesus is alive. And that's wonderful news. That's glorious. It's amazing. This is the best news ever. Now, if we look at just the empty tomb on its own, it's going to take it out of its context. It might not actually be that exciting. If you said to me, the tomb is empty, I would say, like, yeah, so? I mean, the funeral home lost the body. That's okay. I'm sure it'll show up somewhere. Right? But when we place it in the context of the scriptural message, when we place it in the context of all we know about the life of Jesus, what he taught us, and how he taught us it was going to happen, then the empty tomb becomes the greatest news of all time. Jesus, just a couple of days ago, died on the cross for crimes he never committed. Jesus was then taken down from the cross and locked in a cave. He was locked in a tomb by a huge boulder. And now he's gone. He's not where we left him on Friday. Then we got to think, wait a minute. Isn't that what he said is going to happen? Didn't he tell us that in 3 days he would be raised from the dead? Didn't he tell us that he was going to return to his Father in heaven? Didn't he promise that he would never leave us? If all these things are true, if the tomb is empty, then this must be the greatest news of all time. It's been the greatest news for 2,000 years. And it'll be the greatest news for years to come, even if the Leafs win the cup this year. Not going to happen, Craig, sorry. On Friday, Jesus showed us what he was willing to go through so that we may be free from the sin in our lives. Jesus was willing to take on immense pain and suffering, and was willing to take on our pain and our suffering. Even though he did nothing to deserve such punishment, Jesus died for us. He gave up his life so that we would not need to suffer for our sins, our moral failures. Now, depending on how you lived your life, this news may not be all that exciting for you. On the other hand, it may be that you may think to yourself, I don't deserve this. I have too much pain. I have too much history. I have too much baggage to deserve any freedom, any love in my life. And from an earthly point of view, you may be right. Maybe we don't deserve to be saved from our sin. But you know what? That's not our call to make. In fact, the decision was made for us a long time ago, before we even had a chance to make that decision for ourselves. God made that decision for us. God chose to take that punishment for us. God says, I see what you've done. I see your sin. I see everything you have ever done. And I send my son to take the punishment in your place. This is how much I love you. And so, as a result, an innocent man dies for our freedom. That in itself is a pretty amazing story. It's pretty humbling too, if I may say so. This morning, though, it shows us that there is victory over sin. There is victory over death. This morning shows us that our sin does not lead us into death. And it also shows us that it has no control over us. And in the resurrection, Jesus shows we are born with him into a new life in his victory over sin in the grave. Jesus shows us we are free. What is it you're looking for in your life? Are you looking for a career? Are you looking for a good retirement? Are you looking for a nice home? Are you looking for a new car? Are you looking for meaning? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for contentment? What is it that you are looking for in your life? We're all looking for something. It's human nature to want to improve upon what we have. And sometimes, yes, we do take it to the extreme. And part of it may be because we're kind of brainwashed by advertising agencies that we all need to have the latest and greatest toys in our lives. But if we look deep within ourselves, if we look deep in our own hearts, we will discover that there's something we need that we cannot find on a store shelf or a showroom. By examining deep in our hearts, we may discover we're looking for something which will fill our lives and give us hope. I think if you talk with most people I talk to seem to share this, that they will agree that there's something deep in their life that they are looking for. And if they really consider their own lives, there's some sort of hole they cannot seem to fill. So they keep looking. And many times, yes, we will forget what it is we're looking for. We'll walk into a room and say, "Why am I here?" Or we'll wake up in the morning and wonder how it is I got to this point in my life. And what am I going to do with my day? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? We need meaning. We might even crave meaning. We need hope. We need to know we are loved. We need to fill that hole that is deep inside of us, but we don't know how. And we don't know where to find it. If this is you, I'm glad you're here. Mary Magdalene walked to the tomb to find the body of Jesus so she could anoint it with oil. When she got there, the tomb was empty. And she didn't know what to do. So she ran for help. She got Peter and John, and they came back with her to help her find the body. But it was nowhere to be seen. Peter and John turned and went back home. And Mary stayed. Jesus was gone. Where could he be? So she's distraught and she begins to look around, begins to search for answers. And she looks and she sees the gardener. Surely he has to know where the body is. So she begs him to tell him everything he knows and hopes she can find where they took the body. And then the gardener says, "Mary." And at once she realizes, this isn't any gardener. This is Jesus. He's alive. Didn't he say he would be? Didn't he promise he would come back? And she remembers and she runs and she embraces him. She has found what she's looking for. But it's greater than she imagined. This wasn't a decaying body locked in a tomb. This was Jesus, alive and well. And Jesus gives her a message. He says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." This is the message of victory. Sin and death have no power over Jesus because he is the Son of God who came to do just these things so that we too can ascend to be with his Father and our Father, his God and our God. This is a message that fills our lives, our holes in our bodies that we're looking to fill. This is the message that gives us meaning. It gives us hope. It gives us joy. This is the message which reassures us that our sin, our pain, our baggage has died on the cross, which then sets us free to live in our God and for our God. And so I ask again, what is it you're looking for in your life? Who are you looking for today? We're all looking for something. But it's Jesus who can meet all of our needs. He is the one that can heal our pain. He is the one who can wash away our sin and our failures. He did it for us on Friday. He took those things away from us. And this morning he offers us new life. New life in the love of God, offered freely to all of those who choose to follow him. There is no greater news in all the earth. There is no greater God than our Father in heaven. And he loves us. And he wants us to know him through the new life that is offered to us in Christ Jesus, his Son. So if you're wondering if you can have this new life, just ask him. And he will whisper your name in your ear, just as he spoke to Mary. And like Mary, you will know him alive and forevermore. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, today is the most beautiful day. For you have walked out of the prison of sin and death to show us victory, the victory God has in store for all of us. The victory of being set free from the sin in our lives and living a new life in you. We thank you, Jesus, for this life, and we praise you. Help us, Lord, to know your healing presence in our hearts and give us the meaning and joy that we long for. You desire such great and wonderful things for all God's children, and yet we somehow don't see them. Help us today, O God. Help us today, Jesus, to see your great love for us and bring us into the joy of life you offer. In rising from the grave, you give new life to all who follow you. Give us hearts to follow, and let us hear your voice as you call our name. This we ask in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.